Valvoline Instant Oil Change will help ease your oil change anxiety. Picture expert technicians who are quick but not rushed. When you hear the bell, breathe in and out. Now, let go of your oil change anxiety. Visit Valvoline Instant Oil Change today and find automotive peace. No appointment needed.
From a competition to a pleasure run and all the stops in between, we cover it all here at Coon Hunting Media.
Dakota Lock Company, owned by Hoop and Tater Franklin, located in Teleco Plains, Tennessee, with the newest addition to their lineup, the Dakota Express. This lock features the industry-leading True Dual Battery Pack cap light. Switching from battery 1 to battery 2 is a simple flip of a switch. Contact Dakota Lights for their complete light selection. All of their lights are known for dependability and extreme battery life. Their direct business number is 423-261-2551. Dakota Lights, great lights, and even greater customer service.
Coon Hunting Media is proudly sponsored by Little T Squatters. Them are the words every competition hunter loves to hear. Your winning coon has just been found. Little T Squatters, owned and designed by Tim Tempton, has set the bar for high quality, dependable, and unmatched performance. From pleasure hunters to extreme competitors, he covers it all with his five elite models. Original Little T, the Triple Threat, the Double Shot, the Pro Series, and the newly designed Bell Ringer. If you want to enter the woods with confidence, contact his office at 423-562-5333 and become elite.
In addition to our official sponsors, we would also like to thank the following sponsors: Secret City Kennels. The kennel is owned by Mr. Mark Gettner and Mr. Wendell Jones. At Secret City Kennels, they support the English Coonhound breed. They have English Coonhounds for sale from time to time. Contact Mark or Wendell for all your English needs. They are available for your English Coonhound advice and are happy to answer your questions. These guys have done their fair share of winning in the comp events, including wins at the PKC Labor Day Classic, 5th place overall in the UKC World Hunt, 9th place in the AKC World Hunt, English Days, Winter Classics, and the list goes on and on. Mark is the current PKC English Coonhound President. Give either of these guys a call. They will be glad to talk with you. Their numbers are Mark at 931-787-2784. Or Wendell at 865-748-7795. They are located in Kingston, Tennessee and Coalfield, Tennessee.
Saddle Up Canine Cryo is owned by Mr. Bill Schinninger. Bill is located in Delta, Ohio. Don't miss out on the opportunity to keep that special stud dog forever. His services include semen collection, freezing, side-by-side shipping, and semen storage. Bill is also the owner of one of the best-known plot kennels in the country, Saddle Up Plots. Saddle Up Plots is home to UKC, PKC, AKC, WTDA, Grand Knight Champion, PR Saddle Up Lazarus. Lazarus accomplished the following accolades in 2021. He was UKC World Champ Plot Days Isaiah Kid winner, Purina Breed winner, Autumn Oaks Breed champion, APA Breed Days winner. Fresh chilled and frozen semen is available. Contact Bill directly for all pricing and services information for canine cryo and saddle up plots. Bill's phone number is 419-467-7689. Saddle up plots. Making plots rise again.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to another Coon Hunt Media podcast. It's me and Johnny sitting here, and we got a well-known guest. Few people know his name, I believe.
Yeah.
We got Mr. Nicky Hell with us. How's it going, Nicky?
Yeah, doing pretty good.
Good. Me and Johnny, hard guy to chase down, ain't he?
Yeah.
Nicky.
Oh, no. Busy man.
Busy man.
That's all right. Everything comes with a weight.
Oh, so, yeah.
All good things come with a weight anyway. Most of them do.
Yep.
No, we just, me and Kyle got together and was talking about it and trying to get you on here. We just like to talk about some of your dogs over the years, go through some of the wins and things that you've had. You had a recent win here, I guess, last weekend of a new side-by-side. And we're just going to, like I said, start going through some of your dogs and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I guess the first really good dog that I had, I mean, I'd compete. I'd had some stuff pretty nice before him, but the first one that ever done any really big winning at the time, which ain't that much winning nowadays compared to what we do, but a dog called Stylish Pete. He was probably the best dog I've ever owned. He's what everybody tries to train nowadays, and he was all natural back early 2000. I mean, he big old mouth. I'd say on a average he was 80-85% accurate. Rarely ever missed a coon. Just big hunting dog. Hunted away from dogs. Never even thought about backing. Mouth to go with it. You could tree him over a mile. Recast it just like he did from a truck. He's just what everybody wanted in a dog. And I knowed I had something pretty special in him, so I wanted to go to some bigger hunts. Went to some pro hunts. Won some pro hunts with him, which was a really big thing back when I first started. Just going to one excited me. Breeder Showcase. I've won the Breeder Showcase with him a time or two. Got in the final cast of the Super Stakes with him, which, like I say, was a really, really big thing for me at the time. But he kind of put me on the map. We bred him a little bit. Never did really promote him to breed him, but several people that hunted with him wanted to breed to him. He was out of a really good reproducing dog, Patrick Bowling owned him, named Stylish Buster, which is directly out of Stylish Lipper. And Buster had a real good name around here because a lot of dogs out of him was doing really good at the time when I got Pete. So it just kind of funneled right into this stuff that I've been hunting now since early 2000. And I've pretty much stayed with that bloodline or the jig stuff. Now, me and Pete Olivia, we partnered up probably 12, 13 years ago on old jigs. We got him from Robert Stivers, and they kind of, Jigs and Smirnoff, they complemented each other. They kind of the same dog, get struck good, and three coons, really competitive. Me and Pete, we've had a real good run at it for 12 years. And had old Smirnoff, he was probably the next big winner after Pete, which I had some good ones out of Pete, that several good ones, really. Smirnoff's daddy, Gus, was a good one. Biker was a good one. But Smirnoff's probably my favorite dog. He's probably my favorite dog of all of them that I've hunted. I mean, he just, kind of like Meltdown. He had that desire to win and super competitive. Didn't breed him a lot, but same thing. We got a few pups out of him and just worked our way down now. And that's kind of what time is when we won the side to side with last week. He's, I think, six generations back to Pete and Buster and them on the bottom side. And of course, his daddy was a full throttle Meltdown, which is right out of old Jig. So he's pretty much everything I've hunted for the past 25 years. Time is.
Yeah. Now, have you campaigned a lot of these dogs, or do people just bring females to you? Or do you?
Well, most of them we've raised. I'm not no kind of a, don't claim to be any kind of a breeder, but we've had really good luck at keeping this stuff right here. You know, I don't claim to be a breeder by no means, but I'm pretty proud of the fact that we've had about everything we've done a lot of winning with was born right here at my house, you know, right in the kennel out here. Dime was born right here. Heads Up was born right here. Bigfoot was born right here. Time's Mama Lou was born just right down the road here. But Gus and Banker, right out of Pete, they was born right. I mean, we've had really good luck at raising them. You know, we've had better luck at raising them than we have been at buying them.
Yeah. You know,
and we've bought a few good dogs, but we've had better luck out of the ones we've raised.
Yeah. Do y'all have the females, or somebody bring a good female to y'all?
Well, no, we raised we had the females here too. Like I say, Time was out of Lou, and she had a little bit of history to her. I raised her. Well, a good buddy of mine raised her from a puppy. I got her when she's about 8 months old and got her tree and coons good. And, a real good friend of mine, E-Town, Kentucky, Tyler Nally, was looking for something to take to the Super Stakes, and I sold her to him, and he hunted her a little while, and Charles Stroud, a guy in North Carolina, a really good fella, a good friend of mine, bought her, and he's just a coon hunter. I mean, he's more of an old school, going there and kill a coon when they tree it type guy, but he liked to go to a few hunts, and he got her, and she wasn't nothing just super, super special, but she had all them good qualities. She's a good strike dog. She stayed treed when she get treed. Treed a lot of coons, but she was about a half outlaw, Lou was, and he hunted her, I don't know, a year and a half. He got a truck ticket with her, and placed in a state race, and I don't know what all he done with her, but anyway, I wind up buying her back from him, and we kept her for a long time just to breed her to these dogs, because she was out of Smirnoff. She's really the first one I raised out of Smirnoff, first female, and Bigfoot's out of her, Old Downtime out here is out of her. Like I say, she went back. She's three or four generations of this stuff that I've hunted.
Yeah, so you.
But now we had Up's Mama here. We bought her from Andy Landreth whenever we bought Meltdown, and we bred her. I mean, we raised the puppies right out here, and that's what Old Up was out of. Bigfoot was out of Lou also. That was the cross I had intentions of making for a long time, was breeding a Smirnoff female to Jigs, and that's how we got Bigfoot, which we've got some real good young dogs out of Bigfoot right now that's coming on. So,
do you? When you get ready to go for these hunts and things of that nature, what's your kind of training routine? You just pound them 5-6 nights a week, or give them a little break in between? Or?
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I coon hunt, you know, religiously. I mean, that's something I do. If it's things are right, I hunt four, five, six nights a week, you know. But now if I got things going on work wise and family wise, I hunt dogs that I don't got nothing that you've just got to lay out there and grind every night. Now everything I've got looks a little better if you're grinding them, but you know, if I need to take off two or three nights, I do. I don't let coon hunting interfere with what's going on around here. But Yeah, we hunt pretty hard. I mean, I try to hunt 4 or 5 nights a week if a hunt's coming up. Now, Time, he's a little different. Up was that may be one of the reasons why I liked Up so good. He was really a coon treer, but he looked better if you were just hunting him a night or two a week. You know, just he stayed fresher. The fresher he was, the better he was. Time, he's right opposite. You've got to hunt him a little bit. He's a type that, you know, if I didn't get to hunt much this week, I'd want to make sure and hunt him hard the night before I went to a hunt. Just kind of knock the edge off of him because he's a really high strung, fired up dog, and he's pretty much even keel if you hunt him 7-8 nights in a row all night. Then he's down to the normal energy level of a normal high energy dog. If you ain't a hunting him, man, he can be a little too wild.
Get a little too far, so, a little out of pocket, maybe.
Well, I mean, it ain't nothing to pull up here. We hunt some real rough creeks and stuff in the summertime where it's so hot, and these creeks straight up and down creek banks, root wads, rough as you can imagine, river bluffs, creek bluffs, and it ain't nothing to send him right down the middle of a creek and, you know, him be treating 8-9 minutes, 1.4, 1.5 through the country.
So he definitely
if you'll hunt him, he'll cut that in half. You know, he can tree layups and stuff, but he don't really look too. So I try to hunt him down to where he slows down just a little bit. But yeah, he's a pretty fired up dog.
Well, good deal. Now, as far as these talking about getting through the country deep, is that the style that you prefer, or do you like you said, just kind of
really
hunt time down a little bit where he can work maybe
closer? Not really. I like a dog to go coon hunting. I pleasure hunt. They can do away with these coon hunts tomorrow, and I'm still going to go coon hunting. And I like to tree all the coons I can tree. I mean, to me, that's the name of the game, you know. I believe a lot of people has turned it into something that it really ain't. You know, everybody wants one in there a mile by itself. Like that amounts to something. That don't mean that much. The one that trees the most coons is the best, and in my eyes, and you ain't going to tree the most coons if you're a mile and a half every time you turn him loose. I mean, common sense tells you know, if I can tree coons every 400 or 500 yards, I'm going to tree a whole lot more than if I got to go a mile and a half. These guys are training them to go a mile and a half. I mean, they don't want them to tree coons out there right in front of them. Too hard to, I really think it's harder to compete with a real good handler if all the dogs are staying together. And I think people want them split off. Makes it easy on them. You know, all they can do is strike and tree their dog. You know, they ain't no handling involved. If we turn 4 dogs loose and all 4 of them go 4 different directions, they ain't no handling to that. You know, I mean, I can hunt yours as good as you can. If he ain't never nowhere around a dog, you know, I mean,
yeah.
All I gotta do is wait till he gets treed and tree.
See that tree switch come up on the Garmin?
Yeah, I mean, I've said it that a lot of your handlers that win a little bit right now couldn't win without that daggum Garmin. They wouldn't know where their dog was half the time. I mean, it's no telling how many times you see somebody kind of off over there by themselves watching that Garmin just to know where the dog is. You know, I mean, that ain't the way it used to be. Used to, competition was about competing on treeing a coon right out there in front of you. First dog got after one, first in the tree. You know, it was kind of a handler's game in a way.
Yeah, yeah. I used to
turned it.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I used to hunt a blue male dog, and he had the locate was unquestionable. And them boys, I've been on competition hunts before, and just since he started, I'd hook him. And then they'd say, well, how in the world are you treating that dog? I said, well, if I ever let you into here at one time, you'd be treating him the rest of the night. Of course, that's been years ago, you know what I mean? That's
been 20 years ago. It's part of the game back in the day.
Yeah, so, and he said, I'd like to hear it. And I told him, I can't let you hear it, because if you do, you'll never forget it. And it'll be, the next time I draw you, you'll be you'll be trying to call my dog. So I just cut him off right there at that. And that's kind of the way it is. Now, you said, you made mention about everything being a mile and a half deep. In your eyes, in a little bit, probably sooner rather than later, my thinking is, everybody's still wanting to be alone. I understand that. You think they'll tighten up any on the range just because of the land that we're losing to have access to?
I don't see it. I can see, losing land's going to affect things, but it ain't going to affect what people want these dogs to do. Everybody wants them that way. They love it. Ain't nothing makes a man feel no better than hear their dog paw treat over there 3/4 of a mile away from everything else. They get a kick out of it. I never will forget. I was hunting Smirnoff, and Smirnoff suited me probably more than anything I've hunted, because he didn't have to do that. He competed to win a cast, whatever he had to do. He wasn't no backing dog. By no means, but he would cover if he had to. And I remember I won a pro hunt once, and a good handler made a little comment on Facebook, which I never responded to because it didn't matter to me, but he was a cutting old Smirnoff. According to the play-by-play, Smirnoff had got struck for 100 and covered on 2 or 3 coons, and this old boy said that he'd rather have one lose and be in there a mile by itself, and I thought, you the guy I like to draw. I like draw people that don't care to lose. That tickles me to death.
Yeah.
but that's kind of dog Smirnoff was at 3, and I liked him. You was always in a cast. You wasn't never out of one just because you drawed a dog maybe that was on, and Smirnoff may have been off. He still competed. If he had to get a quarter of your coon every now and then, he would, and he'd be right there at the end, maybe not win. But he'd be right there able to win, if something good happened for him. But,
yeah. Well, good. Now, when you say these dogs here, you said they got layups and stuff like that. Are you looking for a layup style dog? Are you looking for?
That's what I like. I love a good layup dog. Heads up. That was his specialty. He could tree layups like they were red hot. He tree coons around these cornfields setting up, man. He's a corn dog or cornfield dog man. Them coons you see setting up, the dogs don't never nose around. He tree every one of them. He had a natural talent for finding them coons up them trees.
Okay.
And I love that. But hard to have that, and that hard going dog too, because it's hard to tree them coons laid up if you're going 14 mile an hour when you get to where they're at.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So you gotta have two different styles. It's hard to have it all. You either got a dog that he wasn't a real hard, fast, he could get through the country, don't get me wrong, but that really wasn't his style. He was more of a pleasure hunter's dream, really. That he tree coons are good, he won, but he tree coons all around you. Just like he made coon treeing look really, really easy. He didn't never have to go a mile to tree a coon. If he did, they probably wouldn't run around there.
Yeah, this tree made you come to him.
He tracked that way
and layups that same way.
Same thing. He was good at running coons, hot coons, layups. He could tree any kind of coon there was. He can tree layups, but he don't really look to tree them. He likes to run a coon up. He goes looking for a coon on the ground. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for something to run when you turn him loose.
Yeah.
He's caught. There ain't no telling how many coons old times caught on the ground. Just because he goes so fast through the woods. A lot of times you'll see him stopped up, ain't marking or nothing, showing him treat, and get in there and he'll have a coon on the ground.
Yeah.
It ain't been 3 weeks ago I started to shock him. I thought he was in a hole. I hear him muffle around barking a little bit, and he's been stopped there forever. And I thought, I'm going to walk down there, and he's in the ground. I want to jerk him up and give him a good pound and let him know I don't want him in a hole, not shock him. And I'm glad I didn't, because I got around the corner, and he had about a 14-pound coon on the ground trying to kill it.
Yeah.
yep. where he caught it. And caught two deer. I think he's caught two or three deers on the ground.
You like it when they get struck on a whitetail and fall off on a coon every now and then?
Nah, he ain't no junkie dog, really. I mean, honestly, he ain't. He's never really been a junkie dog. I mean, he'll run one every once in a while, but, I mean, he ain't never been a dog that you would think was running a deer. I mean, he never been a deer dog, never been a fox dog, no three possums. I mean, he's always been pretty straight. Now he's striking now. He gets that net. Smirnoff was pretty much an automatic strike dog. And Jigs, of course, anybody that's ever pooped with Jig stuff, all that stuff's pretty, likes to bark. They can smell a coon a half a mile. You get them out of the truck, they ain't got to be a coon close. They can smell one in there deep. They go to barking as soon as they smell one.
Right. Right.
Yeah, they're a little mouthy.
Well, I mean, most people want to get on a card pretty quick.
Yeah, and I don't particularly like it, but now I ain't going to break them from it because it's a weapon. I like one bark if I'm out there on a hunt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, it comes down sometimes. That's what makes or breaks you. What strike
point you carry. Yeah, that strike, that's side by side. I mean, I won it just literally I struck a half a second before John Strickland, and that was the winning strike. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I strike for 100, he strikes for 75, and Lane Leverett strikes for 50, and we all tree a coon, and that's what won the hunt.
Right, right. Okay. Well, I didn't know. We're going to take a break right here for just a second, Nikki, so we can put some commercials in.
Ah, that works.
Outlaw Light Company. Owned by Alan Roberts. Located in 10 Mile, Tennessee. 25 years of light building experience. With the newest addition to their lineup, the Ace Pro. They are constantly striving for the best parts. The Ace Pro has better switches and batteries, and it has the option of double walk light and two additional color modules, main beam and a green laser. Or a single walk light with three color modules, main beam, and a green laser. All their lights are known for dependability and extreme brightness. Contact Outlaw Lights for their complete light selection. Their direct business number is 423-453-8813. The Ace Pro, the light with a lifetime warranty.
Briar Creek Kennels, feed and hunting supply store, owned by Chris Girth. Located in Hemera, Indiana, Briar Creek carries all your pet supplies and is the headquarters for all your hunting dog gear. Never get caught in the dark. They carry Outlaw Lights, Superior Lights, and their own Briar Creek Light brand. They are an authorized Garmin and Dogtra dealer. They offer hunting apparel by Yoder Nylon, Southside Hunting Gear, Dan's, Razor, and their own Briar Creek branded gear. Dog boxes include Old Dry Pond and Diamond Deluxe, AGM thermals, engraved nameplates, dog collars, and leads are just a few of the many other offerings you can get from Briar Creek. Visit the store in person or shop online at www.shopbriarcreek.com. Or check them out at the major events. Their direct business number is 812-383-9489. Briar Creek Kennels Feed and Hunting Supply Store.
All right, everyone, we're back now. We're going to dive into one of the, what's they, I guess they've, he's been known and been clarified as probably, I know, the best competition male dog in the nation, and arguably one of the best competition dogs to ever walk on this face of earth, and it's a meltdown. So we'll start diving into some of his stats and stuff, and Nikki can tell us a little his style and what all he's won and stuff.
Well, I really he's won everything. That's the only thing I could say. You know, he never could capitalize on a world hunt, which was a shame, but I'd say there wasn't very many dogs in more final casts in the world hunt than he was. He's into a three final fours of the world hunt or final threes. And, he's like a lot of people said, he was just a freak of nature out there on the cast. I drawed him a lot when Dustin Weed was hunting him, and he was one of them dogs. He was never out of a cast. Dustin was he's probably one of the best. He's probably the best handler. He'll go down in history as one of the best handlers, or if not the best handler, just like that dog probably go down in history, the best competition coon dog ever. Him and Dustin was a perfect pair. They do what it takes to win. But I've seen Dustin, just confidence, you know, a lot of times confidence can get you in trouble out there on the cast. If you're really, really confident in a dog, you'll do things sometimes that you wouldn't do if you know that dog might screw up somewhere. You might try to protect him and guard him a little bit. I'm bad for it. Dustin didn't do that with Down. He when he looked up, he treed him. He could be winning the cast and dog look up and he'd tree him, and maybe the dog get down and go back to track and take a minus. Didn't bother him a bit. That dog would make up for it before the night was up. He was just a hard, hard dog to beat. He got struck really, really quick. Moved around like a rocket. He could get over here and beat around for a few minutes and didn't look like he could tree a coon, and then all of a sudden be a half a mile the other direction and tree three over there in 30 minutes. Hmm. He's just a really good hound. And like I say, he's won everything. It'd be hard to say what kind of win percentage he had because he didn't lose much. I mean, we owned him from, I think, in September. We got him first of September, and he died the middle of December. And I think we won 37,000 with him and everything that we hunted him in. And, I mean, I was, if he'd have lived, we'd have won as much as Dustin did with him, I think, in a year or two. Ain't no telling what he'd won. If Dustin had him right now, hunting him in the hunts that he gets to go to now, he'd have won over $1 million. Ain't no doubt about it.
Now, what kind of style was he?
Just whatever it took. Yeah, I think he was a lot like Time. Just to be honest, I've compared him. You know, Meltdown was sterile pretty much his whole life, and I'd say it was from the hard hunting. You know, I mean, Dustin hunted him. He hunted him every night, I guess, and they was at either a daggum $25, $30 hunt or a pro hunt or a truck hunt, or, you know, they was at something every week. And I'd say that was probably one of the reasons he didn't have any sperm. That's just my opinion. I don't know that, but he was sterile pretty much his whole life. And when we got him, I decided to take him to the vet. We had no intentions of raising puppies out of him when we got him, because we knew he was sterile. But I was going to the Super Stakes in September, and I had a female in heat. I was going to breed her to Smirnoff. But anyway, I was going to take her to the vet and leave her while I was gone to the Super Stakes. And I thought, well, I'm going to take Down. And just, we didn't do no blood work. We didn't have no vet, nothing when we bought him. It was just kind of a hurry-up deal when we bought him. And I said, I'm going to get him completely checked out. I want to know everything there is about him. And I took him to the vet and had him run him through the cleaners. And I told the vet, he's the vet that I use in Smithville, Tennessee, and he's the best when it comes to this collecting and storing and breeding females and stuff. I mean, he's the best. Mark Burks.
Yeah, the bad thing is we're fixing to lose Dr. Burke, I believe.
Yeah, that's what they say. They say he's retiring after this year, But anyway, I told him what the whole deal with Meltdown. I said, I'd love for you to look at him, just collect him, check him out, and see if there's anything we can do to increase our chances of getting puppies out of him. Now, like I say, this was on a Saturday when I took him, and I was leaving to go to the Super Stakes on Monday. Wednesday, while I'm at the Super Stakes, he calls me. He tells me he wants to give me an update on Meltdown. And he had Ehrlichia, which, you know, everything's got Ehrlichia nowadays. And he had early stage kidney disease, which pretty normal for a 5 or 6 year old dog, you know. I mean, that dog, the high protein dog food stuff is pretty bad for that. You have to put him on a kidney diet. And that's what he told me. And he had heartworms, which he didn't have no, I don't think he actually had heartworms, but he had larvae, micro larvae in his system. He tested positive for heartworms. And then he says, I got 2 pellets on him though. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, I'm thinking he's messed up and got the wrong dog because he's sterile, you know. And I said, what do you mean you got 2 pellets? He said, we collected him and we spent everything down, got all the bad out. We had 2 good breedings. And I was beside myself because, you know, I'm thinking this whole time his dog's sterile. And we ain't done nothing. I mean, I ain't done nothing to him to make him not sterile. We did give him some supplements that a guy told me about we'd been giving him since we had him, but that didn't have time to kick in. But anyway, I told him, I said, well, don't breed the female to Smirnoff. I said, breed her to Meltdown. I said, whatever you got to do. I said, if you have to use them pellets, if you can collect him and breed her, whatever you need to do. I said, I want her bred instead of breeding her to Smirnoff. And that's when we got heads up. They was 2 pups in that litter. And good Lord just blessed us is all I'm going to say about that. We got the dog and he seemed fit for us to get a litter of pups out of him. But anyway, we fooled around and got 5 pellets. Before he died, we got 5 pellets. We got 2 litters of pups. I've got a couple pellets left out of him. You know, we're going to try sometime or another and try to get another pup out of him. But that was the deal on getting the pups. And I've always said that, to get back on subject, time is more, he is more like Meltdown. I mean, I ain't saying he's Meltdown by no means, but he's more his style. Move around, hit tracks on the ground and put them up a tree, you know, go find a coon and tree it rather than like up. He was real good at finding them done up in trees and treeing them. That's really not a Jig's characteristic. Up wasn't really I think he got a lot of his coon treeing ability from his mama's side. I mean, I really do, because he really wasn't like most of the Jig's dogs I've hunted with. And I've hunted with a lot of them. But Jig's dogs hunt real hard, get struck, and run coons up trees. You know, that's the style they are. They tree lay up, but they don't really look for layups.
Yeah.
At time, he's more like Meltdown. Just get struck really, really quick, move around good, and find coons and put them up a tree.
Well, good. Good deal. We're just wondering, so you got them pellets, and you've raised several – a couple females.
Yeah, I got 4 puppies out of him. Meltdown had 4 puppies. He had first litter, there was a male and a female that was up, and a little female, Thomas Brom, and then got her out in Texas. She was we done a little auction for a boy that had cancer, and we auctioned her off because there was so many people wanting a pup out of Meltdown, and it was just one of them deals. I'd rather give everybody a shot at buying one of them. And we was going to raise some money for this boy with cancer. And I think the little puppy before its eyes was open brought $12,500 for that little boy, you know, he got all that.
Yeah.
And then the second litter was Time and a little female, Dolly. She was a really, really nice bitch too. She died back last summer. So there's 2 pups out of him right now, Downtime and a little female out in Texas. That's only 2 pups out of Meltdown right now.
You keep up with them pretty regular, which I know you keep up one of them pretty regular.
Well, yeah, I keep up one of them. The other one, I know she tree coons. She was a big hunting, kind of crazy hunting female. I really don't know her whole story. I know she made a dog tree coons. I know they just raised a litter of pups out of her 4 or 5 months ago. They bred her to bone collector semen. Got 10 or 12 puppies out of her. But really, I don't know much about her. Thomas, he's had some really good dog, Thomas Brom, and I think they keep her out there at their house or something other. She never was really hunting pushed, I don't think.
Yeah, just as some of them say, out behind the barn, coon dog.
Yeah, that's something like that. And I think there was a little nostalgia to her, too, where they bought her. It was a pretty big deal when they bought her for that little boy. They named her Gage. The little boy's name was Gage Smith. I'm real good friends with his family and his grandpa. His grandpa was a coon hunter, and Kent Smith. And there was a little nostalgia to that female. You know, them, all of them, everybody was bidding on her, you know. And then they got her bought for $12,500, and they called her Gage's Angel, I think is what they called the pup. So they did a little sentimental value to her, I think.
Yeah. Well, with a cause like that, people giving up and giving back for a little boy like that, that's a big thing. You know, they have a...
Oh, yeah, it was. It meant a lot. I always said that I think the good Lord put that dog in our hands maybe for that reason. You know, we've done a lot of winning, but that was a pretty good deal at the time. You know, pretty neat.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, anything else you got you'd like to talk about, Nikki?
Not really.
How old the dog you're hunting now, Downtime, how old is he?
He was 4 in December.
Okay, so he's still...
Yeah, he's 4 year old in December. Prime. Oh, yeah, he is. And he's really just coming to himself. He's been nice ever since he was a baby. He tree a coon. All my stuff's run loose out here in the yard pretty much till they're 7, 8 months old. And he treated a coon or two just running loose out here. And we got me and Pete, of course, me and Pete Olivia's partners on everything. And we've got a good buddy up in Ohio that's really, really good with pups. Josh Limber got lots of coons, and he hunts dogs for us some. And he took time up there when he was about 8 or 9 months old and just fell in love with him. I mean, he went to treeing coons. He was just a crazy, crazy good coon treer as a baby. Well, he treed 5 or 6 a night, you know, him not even a year old yet. Mm-hmm. But he's always been about a half outlaw, just wild, just hunt crazy, hunt. At one time, you know, he'd be a mile in there with a coon treed, but he was 11, 12 months old, might treed 20 minutes, might treed hour, but a lot of times he'd get gone before you get to him. He's kind of hard to finish out, you know, really was. He's always had that wild streak about him, and he's just now getting, I mean, he done some winning since he was a pup a little bit. We hadn't hunted him near as much as we did up, but he's always had that ability. But now since up passed away, he's getting all the attention. So we're pretty tickled with him. He's stepping up.
Yeah. And it's a lot of times them wild dogs, if you can ever get them settled down, they normally make some pretty big winners.
Yeah, that's him. He's just now settling down. We expect some big things out of him this year. Really do.
When you get ready to push one, Nikki, what are you looking for? Are you looking for age or just maturity or the way they handle or just shooter
ability? They got to be what I like to coon hunt. You know, that's the big thing. I got to like to take them coon hunting. And like we started pushing him way too young. We kind of got in a spot there. You know, we'd run Smirnoff and Jigs for 8, 9 years. And we was really spoiled with them. And then we had Meltdown. Of course, Meltdown didn't live but 3 months, I believe, when we got him. So we lost him. And I had this pup right here coming on. We bought a female that we was going to run for a couple years. She's out of Mojo Mason. We was going to run her a couple years and breed her down the road. And she was a really nice bit, called her Hush Money. And she killed herself, what I call. She was about half ignorant. She jacked a tree real bad. And I had her tied back, and she clumb up a tree and got over a fork and hung herself. Me out there in the field of shining, killed her. No, it was about, he wasn't even a year old yet. And we had some big entries hunts, big entry fee hunts, $2,500 hunt here and there. And he's all I had. I mean, it was one of them deals. He's all I had, really, that would go hunting and stay treed and compete. And, of course, at that age, he was the mouthiest dog that's ever been put on this earth. He barked from the time his eyeballs opened up of a morning until he shut them of a night to go to sleep. He never shut up. And I loaded him up. I think the first hunt I put him in was a $2,500 Pro Classic and got in the final four that night and made him a silver champion. The first hunt he's ever in, won 4,000 with him.
And pretty good licks.
Oh yeah, we probably won with up. I'd say we had won 100,000 with him before he was old enough to really be putting the hunts and sound enough to be putting the hunts. He won a lot. He was a winning dog for a pup. It was just, he was a good coon trier. I mean, he's always a good coon trier. And I guess that mouthiness and a good coon trier can win, even though you ain't really ready.
Right.
But now Time, really, he's right where I like him right now. I mean, he's 4, you know, coming 5. He's wound down just enough now that you ain't got to stay on him. I don't even turn him loose with a shock collar no more. I used to wouldn't even dream of turning him loose without a shock collar on him, but I don't even hunt him with a shock collar no more. And he ain't perfect by no means. I mean, he's just a dog, but he's right kind of where I like him right now.
Okay. Well, you made mention
mellowed out just enough.
Yeah. Well, you made mention earlier, you were talking about the, going to go see if he was in a ground or if he caught that coon on the ground or whatnot, and walking in there and seeing that. Now, there's some people that don't mind that kind of stuff. I mean, as far as displeasure hunters and things like that, they don't care if the dog stays in a hole or not. But in the world that you compete in, the dog that stays in the ground like that is somebody else has the opportunity to tree another coon on you. So that's important there.
Oh yeah, I ain't having one tree in the ground. I'm gonna try my darnest to break them. We've got a dog out here right now. I'm hunting. Dwayne Beaver trained him out of rodeo, and man, he's a nice one. He's nice as anything I got. Be a tree in the ground a little bit. I've been 2 or 3 months trying to get him broke out of a hole. But around here, we can't have them tree in the ground. Not just for the hunt purposes, but we got one kind of like sinkhole caves.
Yeah.
And if a dog, you just let a dog tree in the ground here, you'll lose one. They'll get in there and won't come back out. We've lost several in the ground.
Yeah, we've had to.
I know a lot of hunters. Like John Strickland, I heard him say he don't break them from treeing in the ground. He said it's just like a den tree to him, you know. He goes in there and scores them in a hole, circles them up. If he don't see it, if he does, plus them, it don't bother him for one to tree in the ground.
Yeah.
But now, me personally, I ain't have one tree in a hole.
Well, I don't care nothing about it myself. I hate to walk East Tennessee hills and walk in there and have one in the ground. Like you said, we've got some caves here down around Calf Killer and places like that. That's got some. I mean, you can get back. They people go in them caves, and
that's where they are around here.
They get you get down in there. You, like you said, you can lose a dog or two, and that's pretty important to us. Plus, like I said, just from the competition aspect of it, anybody's opinion is their opinion, like I said, but no, I don't want to walk the one in the ground. Because, like I said, that's wasted time. Because, I mean, in all actuality, what you score in the ground, you might get one out of 7, 8 to look at you in the ground or that you can see.
You won't do that around me because these holes are so big where I'm at. You ain't never going to see one in the ground. Now, when you get up north, you get up in Indiana and places. You know, they got them aisles out in them fields, them coons go in bad. And you'll score a lot of coons in the ground up in there, but I don't want mine. There's a lot of them on over yonder in the woods if they'll get out of that hole.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of them up there. Now, what do you think as far as places that you've been? What do you like as far as the best hunting areas that you like about it?
My very favorite place to hunt is Texas. You know, for people that ain't never been to Texas, they probably shaking their head. we go out Athens, Texas, up there in Van Pierce and them's place. And when I first went out there, I didn't know what to expect. But now that's my favorite place to coon hunt. I mean, it's flat, and the ground, just rarely ever do they have old mushy ground, even if it rains, because it's a sandy. And big, big oaks, coons everywhere, but it's a place where a dog has got to go hunting. You know, you don't go up north in places and they turn loose right on coons. You know, you can't help it. There's so many coons, you know, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Illinois. There's so many coons. Dog don't got to hunt real hard, you know, to tree a lot of coons in those places.
Right.
Go out in Texas, they've got to hunt. But if they will hunt, and go looking to tree coons, you'll tree the crap out of coons in Texas. I mean, it's Athens, Texas, and all in that area, Jewett, and man, it's just, it's, to me, it's the best hunting they are. There and in Arkansas, I really like hunting in Arkansas, down around Holly Grove and that White River Refuge and all that area right in there. I really like that hunting.
Right.
But
I didn't know.
I think around.
I know we
get, around where I hunt, I think, is a pretty good place to get dogs ready. You know, we ain't got a lot of coons, and we got some pretty rough hunting. But if a dog will hunt, you know, where I hunt at, they can tree a coon or two about every night. But they got to work and get through the country. And I think it really helped. The harder you make a dog work getting it ready, and you haul them up where most of your big hunts is in better hunting. You know, Illinois and Indiana and Michigan, those places are, it's a lot easier to tree coons. I mean, it just is, because they got so many more of them, and the ground's, the terrain and stuff's a lot better.
Yeah. It's easier on me, I know, when I go up north.
Yeah, a lot easier. If it's easier on me, it's easier on them.
Yeah, I don't sweat nowhere near as bad, and don't got to pull on as many trees as I am climbing up them hills and hollers. And but now I like Mount Gilly in Ohio area awful well.
That place is unreal.
And I like it around Illinois, around Robinson and Claremont and places like that. Good.
Claremont area, Wheeler area, Newton, Salem, that area there is probably the best coon hunting they are for what we do. You know, I think.
Yeah.
Hunts and plenty of coons and good walking. I mean, lots of country.
Big safe areas. I mean,
yeah, big safe areas. It is. It's nice. I like going up there.
Yeah, I like. We've been fortunate enough to have a friend up there, and we've been going back and forth up in there some in that area of the country to try to get. Because I mean, it's hard for us to get a dog ready to compete down here when you, as far as being alone and all that stuff and going. Wanting to go through there a mile and a half before they get struck and get treed, and then work on another one, you know, to try to push it away or do this and that and make it do what it's supposed to do. Sometimes it gets hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we ain't got no big country around here where I'm at. We ain't got no, you know, there's like Texas and Arkansas and even Michigan, Ohio, there's places you can go beneath big old sections of woods and turn loose and make 5, 6, 7, 8 trees and never even look for the truck. I ain't got no place like that. I mean,
Yeah, me neither. I mean,
we hunt these big creeks because these daggum creeks go for miles, but they ain't a whole lot of wood, so we just keep turning them up these creeks. That's the only way you can just keep recasting, you know, and it's rough hunting.
Yeah.
But as far as getting out there in big woods and hunting real good hunting all night, we ain't got that kind of hunting.
Right. It's kind of the same way we are. But I didn't know. We're just going to try to interview and talk to you and congratulate you on your win for your on the side by side.
Wish you
all the best, and we might run into you one of these days down the road.
Oh, yeah. Good Lord, sure been good to us. He's blessed us the past week or two, that's for sure.
No, good deal. Like I said, we appreciate you coming on here and doing this with us, Nicky, and wish you the best of luck in the future.
Yep. Appreciate y'all.
All right. Have a good one.
All right, see you.